Blog.
October 28th, 2009. I wanted to play different music, but I don't know, it just moved on me at the last minute. Forget it! I want to start off today's show with a little history lesson. Let me calm down. The other music would have made me calmer. A couple of years ago, I got a phone call. Guy gets on the phone, he says, "Hello, Animal, it's Steve Levy. Do you know who I am?" "Yeah," I said, "you're the crazy guy." "Yes," he said, "I am. Now, do you know who Maureen Sherb is?" "How could I not know her?" I said. "She's on every blog. She's on every discussion group. You can't get away from her." "That's right," he said. "And starting next week, she's going to be on your show. You're going to have a sourcing segment following the main show." I said, "Steve, I don't think I need a sourcing segment on my show." He said, "Listen, Animal, do you like horses?" "Kind of," I said. "Have you ever seen The Godfather?" And the next week, I had Maureen right on after the main show. You better believe it. Now, about a month ago, she finally left. She's on Thursdays now at noon with my enemy, Jeff Webb, as her co-host. But, you know, nature doesn't like a vacuum. And 2 weeks ago, I got another call. "Animal?" "Yup. This is Jerry, Jerry Albright." He says, "What can I do for you, Jer?" That's what I said, not what he said. And he said, "Well, Animal, my mama always told me that an audience is like a box of chocolates. You got to treat them right or they just melt away." "Well," I said, "Jerry, your mama was a very smart woman, but what do you want from me?" He said, "Animal, I want you to let my people go." "Let your people go, Jerry?" "Yes, sir," he said, "right into the land Maureen left them." I said, "Jerry, what's going on? I don't think I need a second part to my show." And he said, "Animal, you know, you get all those callers like me all riled up because your show's so exciting, and then you just shut it down. It's not safe to let those people go back to work that way. They need a place to unwind." I said, "No way." All of a sudden, there's another voice on the phone. "Give him what he wants, Animal. Steve Levy! You know, Newman on the Seinfeld show, Steve Levy is my Newman. So now there's an after Animal show. Starts right after this show. I laid down some rules, though. Listen to this, everybody. It's got to be politically correct, just like the Animal show. No swearing, no race, no creed, no color. And if you know someone robbed a bank, call the cops. Don't spill the beans here. Now, the great recruiting trainer, our old friend, Neil Leibovitz, I always want to say Leibovitz, Neil Leibovitz is waiting for us. So, Jerry, what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Beautiful, Jerry, beautiful. Neil Leibovitz, are you here?
I am here and accounted for.
Neil Leibovitz, I don't know. I told you, I always remember Eddie Leibovitz, but Neil doesn't just seem to go with your last name. Now, I hear static on the line. Does anybody else hear static?
I hear a bit of static, my friend.
Yeah, like yesterday, Paul Paris was doing his second show, and he had to cancel because there was so much static. So if somebody's listening on speakers and you want to let me know on Twitter if you can't hear the show or if the static's really bad, I don't want to put Neil through an hour of interrogation without anybody being able to hear him. So just let me know, at Animal, on Twitter if you can hear the show or not. I'm sorry about that, Neil. It's beyond my control.
What can you do? Technical difficulties.
Okay, that's right. Okay, because once I did a show, just before we get going, I did a show with Alexandra Levitt. Levitt, L-E-V-I-T on Twitter. Very nice person, very smart. We had a great show, and you couldn't hear anything.
Excuse me.
No coughing, okay?
I'm sorry.
Okay, actually, is someone obviously coughing? They want to say they're here. Does who is that? Who coughed?
Maureen.
Maureen.
Maureen, you want to say hi? Want to say hi to Neil?
Hi, Neil.
Hello, Mo. And I just received like 40 emails from Maureen today as well.
I told you in the introduction. You can't get away from her. You can't get away from her.
She brings the eyeballs down, though.
But you know, Neil, she's using that stupid Twitter name at TechTrack. TechTrack. I don't get it. Everybody knows her name. You know.
It should be Money Honey anyway.
Yeah, Money Honey is what it should be. You know.
I like Money Honey best of all.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. Rayanne says the show is okay. Rayanne, are you here?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yep, better than usual, but they're still static, but I can hear you. But do you know Neil? Neil, do you know Rayanne, Miss Menopause?
I
have. She's vicious, Neil. She told us. I didn't make that up.
No,
I received after my last radio show at the Animal, I received like 20 emails from people seeing if I was okay.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay. Okay, anybody else? Carl, the recruiting Rottweiler's here. At Carl Chapman Sr., SR, another odd Twitter address. Carl's here. Anybody else want to say hi before we get going?
I'm here. This is Jill Ellswick.
Jill Ellswick.
Hey,
now,
Jill.
That's
hey.
Jill. Neil, we're going to talk to Jill first.
Jill was the very first to sign up for our boot camp in December.
That, okay.
Yes,
so
I guess I was. So I get your free deal or whatever it is.
You do.
Let's start talking about that then, Neil.
And this sounds bad.
It does sound bad. But Marianne says you can hear it on the speakers.
I can hear it. Sounds all right.
Sounds
yeah,
like Paul, water on a main line at a switching station.
Yeah, but Paul Paris says only. Paul Paris says slight static. Jill Ellsworth says she can hear the show. Jill Ellsworth rather so. We're going to keep going. We'll keep going. Is that
I'm
all right, Neil? You decide.
Right.
It is fine. I enjoy a little static. It adds to the drama.
Okay. Now, Neil, let's start right there. I didn't know Jill was going to call in. She obviously, I was going to ask you if she should sign up, but she has signed up. And Shannon Myers also sent me a note, asked Neil about the boot camp. So what is the boot camp? First of all, your name is Neil Leibovitz, Leibovitz, okay? Yeah, by irony, you're also doing a webinar at the same time. It starts at 12:45. It's very from a good series, Bill Radin's Big Biller Marathon. I don't know what it's called. But, you know, there's a guy named Mark who's the host there, and everybody, you know, thanks him. Thank you, Mark. Every time he asks a question, the guys are saying, oh, geez, you are so smart. That's a great question. You know, Neil, don't do that here. If I ask you a question you don't like, say, hey, that's stupid. Don't ask me that. This is what you should be saying. And then we'll know you're sincere, because authenticity is a very big deal here. Okay,
right,
Neil?
I'm on with you, and I'm on this billing summit at 12:30. So go figure.
12:45. Get us straight. 12:45. And not only that, you'll probably come on at 1 o'clock because they've been bad at getting them on at the proper time. But your name is Neil Leibovitz. What's your URL?
It is www.thedynamicsale.com, dynamicsale.com.
Okay, so now you've got a boot camp. What's the boot camp?
It's actually pretty exciting. It's December 4th and 5th. We got great rooms at the Ritz, but I'm doing it at a joint venture with another trainer in the industry, Tim Telch from Top Tier Talent. We're recording our home series DVD. So we're doing it at a fraction of the cost. We normally charge thousands for the event. We're doing it for $479. It's two full days. A lot of people haven't, you know, spent any money on training this year. So we're saying this is really the one to do. Really great motivational stuff, good take-home stuff. Can't beat Southern Florida.
Okay, now this sounds like a commercial, like a KTL commercial. Okay,
right?
You're supposed to chat with us about it. It's not a commercial, okay? Get it straight. I should have cut you off a half an hour ago.
I'm supposed to plug my new movie.
Yeah, okay, now listen, why should someone like Jill, who's just a recruiter groupie, to tell you the truth. She's never been a recruiter, but she came to Recruit Fest, had a good time, it was a nice time, but why should she go there?
In a world where people need training, you need that in a world thing. I mean, so you want a commercial, I have my trailer ready to play, you ready?
Uh-huh.
They should go because people have been so freaking cheap this year, not spending money on training and their development, and the owners and managers out there, You got to send people to something. I get why people aren't blowing $3,000 a pop, you know, as I charge from my normal boot camp in this world, but this is too good to pass up, and it's two of us, too. So we're not joining.
Okay, so how much is it? Did you say?
$479 U.S. dollars.
Wow.
Okay, where is it?
It's in Key Biscayne, Florida, $200 or so airfare. We have the Ritz at a group rate of $179. Can't beat that. Get away, enjoy the sun. They'll let you stay over another day or two on the group rate. It's really good stuff. Hey, on the website, then we'll get off my commercial, which I didn't mean to. I've got a virtual boot camp, too, that's online, and it's you can read all the details there if you just click on the main link. Pretty good stuff. That's for people
okay,
that don't want
to. Okay, one more
try.
Thing, a boot camp, does that mean it's for beginners or that you're rough on them, or both?
No, it's really for beginners and intermediate. It's geared towards really everyone in recruiting who wants to hone up on what they need to do. Depending upon the demographic, we're going to have some different breakout sessions.
Okay, but you're going to take care of Jill because she doesn't know anything, right? I mean,
yeah,
you're going to.
Yeah, I know nothing.
Well, it'll be fantastic for Jill. We love people that don't know anything because no matter what we say, they think we're good.
Okay. Now listen, I got.
Oh really? We'll see about that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now she likes helpers. She's got a coach and all kinds of stuff. Now,
yeah.
Now listen, Neil. Listen, Neil. Are you there?
I am listening with golden ears.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what
Now you're on this marathon, this Bill Radin Big Biller marathon. Now I got a feeling our buddy here, Jerry Albright, he's feeling kind of jealous. How come nobody invited him? You know, there's like a dozen people and lots of guys who've been up. Mike Raymer's on. He was on the guest on the show. Mike Gianta, Mike the Giant, he was also on our show. He's on there. Now, how come nobody invited Jerry? And how can he get on the circuit?
Well, we're a very tight all boys and girls club, and we're very, very specific about.
There's no girls in that club.
Yeah,
there's not one person.
On there. Margaret Graziano's on there.
Oh yeah, there at the very end.
We got
that's right.
Hey Jerry, I'll tell you what. I'm organizing the next one on a winter webinar series. I will make sure you are invited because I love your I can't curse on here. I love your stuff.
Well, thanks.
His stuff. We'll
and
call
I,
that
not,
now. Your
just
stuff.
Just for clarification, I'm not jealous. I
can hear it in your voice.
No. Just give me some liberty. But he'd like to be included. He's a coach. He's on the coach's corner on this show. Okay, so, I think we've lost a lot
free.
Of listeners. Okay, yeah.
So
we've lost a lot of listeners.
The whole deal.
You're pulling
okay.
an Oprah. You're going to make Jerry cry. People are tuning in left and right.
Yeah, okay. Now listen. Listen. Do you want to sing a song? Did you bring a song?
Did I bring a song?
Yeah, every time I come up with a song, nobody knows it. I figured the guests can, you must have stuff that you hum from when you were 12 years old or something. Popular songs we'll all know. We can sing it with you.
Great guys are going to clear up.
Oh, come on. That's from the 30s.
What a happy face.
What
I don't know the words to that.
No one does. That's all you know is the main one. Well, it's gray and cloudy and yucky here, so that's what came
yeah,
to my
Yeah, it's cloudy
mind.
Here too, Rainey. Do you know If I Was a Rich Man?
I do, very well.
We're going to sing that together. Anybody else know it?
I know it.
Okay, Maureen knows it.
The
okay.
Opal version or the Firestein version?
I don't know the Firestein version. If I Were a Rich Man, and the part, but we'll cut it. We'll put the last. We'll start off with the first verse, but we'll end it with the last verse where he says, "Lord, who made the lion and the lamb?" You know that part?
No.
Okay. Okay, but we'll start singing.
I actually played Tevye in a play when I was 18, so I really think
he knows
that one up.
Yeah, when he was 18, not when he was 12. Tevye was your grandfather, wasn't he? That's what you told us last time. Okay, 1, 2, 3, you ready? We're on 3. 1, 2, 3. If I was a rich man. All day long, I'd bitty, bitty, boom. Neil, come on. If I was a wealthy man, I would have to work hard. Lord. Okay, now we're going to switch to the final line. The lion and the lamb, you decreed I should be what I am. Would it spoil some vast eternal plan if I was a wealthy man? Okay.
Are you a Jew man?
I don't know about that. Watch how you talk. Didn't you hear my introduction? No race, creed, or color?
That's not race. I'm Jewish. You're allowed to say it. It's like, you know, the homies calling each other homies.
Look,
whatever.
Don't you know, Jerry, tell them no religion on this show, okay? Now,
that's
now listen.
A new rule now?
It's always been the case.
You know what I
believe.
Okay, so listen to me, Neil.
Yes, sir.
If you placed a contract programmer on a good contract for 6 months, would you travel by car 6 hours to go and visit him for lunch and then travel home on the same day 6 hours?
Jerry Albright would do it.
I hear he would.
Jerry Albright has done it, right?
That was a trick question. That was a trick question. He didn't know that Jerry was doing it, okay? Come on, would you do it?
Too many cooks.
I assumed that, where you were going. I personally wouldn't, but I give kudos, and I'm verklempt.
For real.
Enough about me, okay? Enough about me, animal.
No, Jerry. Jerry, come on. This is your coach now. Everything's public. Okay, so listen. No, Neil, come on. The show's dying on me. Come on. Answer the question. You wouldn't do it, right?
I personally wouldn't. You know, it's a little bit far. I think the client would understand. I would do it virtually. I'd Skype them. I'd send them, you know, a nice bagel or a cookie or something. You know, one of those big cookies. People love that stuff. But, hey, look, that's awesome. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, that's diplomacy, isn't it, Maureen, where the guy says, no, I would never do that, but it's great that Jerry's doing it, right?
It is diplomacy. It's double talk.
It's a good thing to do. No one's going to say it's bad, but,
okay,
you know,
yeah, but you wouldn't say it's a waste
being
of
me, okay?
Yeah, okay.
It's not easy.
Okay.
I know I make it look easy, but it's not.
Is it like $20,000 an hour bill rate?
He's making good money on the guy. He's making good money on him. Now, Neil, next question. Now, you know what? There's a theory of when you're doing recruiting calls, there's I got a chicken recruiting call. When you're saying, this is the kind of position I'm working on, Bill or Mary or whatever your name is, would you be interested in it? I think this is something that is in your field, if I'm not mistaken. And then there's the I just want to get to know you call where, you know, I want to be your consultant and all that kind of stuff. Which do you prefer?
Oh, wow. All right. If I had to choose one. No, the reason I'm hedging is because this is a huge debate, and I make sure that any training I ever do, any webinar I ever do, we always cover both because there are schools of people that swear on one over the other and they hate the other one. I am a starting the relationship with a, we'll use your chicken analogy, with an MPC, an MPA, or skill marketing call.
No, I'm talking about a recruiting call. Okay, but you can talk. If you want to talk about marketing calls, we'll switch it to marketing calls. So you'll start off a marketing call to a client. You'll start off with most valuable candidate. Is that what you're talking about?
I prefer to start it. I believe the relationship calls are what people should really be focusing on. But that said, everyone's getting the relationship calls. You need something to get in. I think if you get to the root of the problem, and I'm not trying to, you know, to plug any training, but, you know, the problem is that people, especially people that have been in the business for a year, 2 years, 3 years, why are they making new calls to people? And they're either in a niche that's way too big, or they're trying to place everything, or, you know, if they're place accountants, they're going to place everyone in the accounting world. And there's no reason why someone who's been doing this, except for, you know, new companies or new people that move into a company, there's no reason why all of these calls should be cold. So it should very much be relationship selling and relationship calls. But
now, I don't understand what you meant. So you should have a niche that only has a limited number of companies in it. So
No.
Let him answer the question. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. If you've been doing this for a year or two or 3 years, a majority of your calls should be going to people where you've already had a relationship, or you've already talked to them a bunch of times. It shouldn't be that introductory, go, hi, this is Neil Leibovitz. I'm a recruiter, and I'm so special, because we're the fastest growing in our niche here, and we only place, you know, these people. You need to have a relationship with someone, and you need to have regular frequency, and you need to have a plan and a strategy so you're not constantly making those new cold calls. So putting that aside, you know, you do need something. I do like it if you have a really good candidate and you've done some homework on a company and you can have an educated call with them. The relationship stuff is awesome, but for a cold call, they get a million phone calls, right? And you were asking originally on the recruiting side. You're saying, do you, on the recruiting side, do you throw a specific job at them, or do you just let them know you think they're fabulous?
Yeah. Essentially, that's it.
It depends if you have a job for them. I mean, if you network with any great person and you're trying to get an A candidate from, you know, you get the name from someone else and you call them, then, hey, if you don't have a job, don't make one up and definitely call them. So it should be, hey, let me tell you who I am and let me tell you why I'm calling you and here's my flattering you and, you know, learn about what they want to hear and tell why you're a little bit different and how you're not going to bug them with 3 million things. But if you do have a job, without question, I think it's great, you know, to go in. You know, bear in mind, you know, the mistake a lot of people make is just pitching the job, and you don't want to do that. You want to let
them
know you're...
Why not?
You know, because if
that's
you
the I got a chicken. I got
job,
a chicken.
Because it's easy to say, you know what, I'm not interested in the chicken. I'm not looking to make a move, and your call's done. Or, you know, they look like you're looking for the quick kill. You're calling them because you are building a relationship on the recruiting side, because you are a person that they want to know and that they need to know and that they should know. Hey, look, by the way, I do happen to have this job opportunity. Whether you want to ask if they know someone and they buy, or do you want to ask them directly? You know, and I go from the old school training of let them know, look, I know you're not looking right now. That's not why I'm calling. You know, the odds of you looking aren't good at all. I mean, if we wanted that, we'd go on Monster and find the, you know, the non-passive candidates. So, you know, if you have something, hey, throw it past them. It's great. But, you know, you do want to get to know what's important to them. To just pitch a job to someone without knowing what they want, why they might consider leaving, what their hot buttons are, again, it's like selling, you know, something to someone when you don't know a damn thing about what they want. I mean,
so how do you call them up and say, I'd like to get to know you? What do you actually say to understand somebody's needs?
You know, you flatter them originally. You know,
what?
I like
this flattering. You don't know the guy. What are you going to flatter him about?
Well, you flatter about why you're calling them, why you got their name. I mean, you're not just calling anyone out of a book, I hope. So you got their name from another great candidate, another great hiring
manager. Okay. So you only call people on referrals. Is that what you're saying?
If I'm making a straight recruiting call, it's going to be referred some way. It's not going to be a name out of the blue. No, will never be a name.
Okay, we got Maureen here. She's a telephone sourcer. If I'm doing a search, I say, Maureen, get me 50 names. I don't know those people, Neil. So am I not going to call them or what?
You could call them if you don't have anyone that you can refer to. You always want to start within your network and similar people and use the great tools like LinkedIn, et cetera, and you know, try to find something out about the person and get that way. If not, and you have something very specific, all right, then you'll make a phone call to, you know, to someone and you don't know them. You'll still want to flatter them. You're still not going to say, hey, by the way, I don't know you from Adam, and I got your name off of a sourcing list because I used the magic method from Maureen Sharab, and your name came up on a list of 48 people, and I'm dialing for dollars right now, so statistically, please, let's tell me that you're ready to move.
Hey, you make
hey,
it sound
Maureen,
like a...
Maureen, I'm not insulting you.
You make
I'm
it saying, sound dirty.
No, I'm just saying, you know, you're still going to flatter them and tell them, you know, hey, look, yeah, I heard great things about you. Or, you know, when you get their name, maybe you find out something about their profile. And, you know, look, I just heard you were really good at what you do. You're one of the top names that came up. You specialize in this.
What if they know they suck?
Well, then it's okay, because if they say they know you suck, you hang up and you're done.
Okay. Just wondering.
Yeah.
They don't
I mean,
say. That's the problem, Neil. Okay, anybody, like, I got a lot of beefs about what Neil just said. Anybody else want to talk to him? Go ahead.
I got to calm down first.
Why?
Maureen,
why, Maureen?
I love what you do. Are you saying, Maureen, the stuff from general internet sourcing, let's say, is better than getting a strong referral from someone that
I would never say that. I would never say that. But I would say that having a list of 50 telephone source names, which are completely different from internet source names, is a completely different animal from how you've described it.
Yes, I'll give you that.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't
feel
know.
Better.
Like, when I call people up, I mean, I'm just not good at you know, being phony. I mean, I say, look, I'm working on a position. I'd like to have a chat with you about it. You have a few minutes. And if the guy is not interested or the woman is not interested, then I can have, if they want, a chat about what they might be interested in the future. And in
fact,
they can
tell. I don't think he's talking about being phony.
Yes, he is. He doesn't know these people.
I'm not picking it up like that.
Well, you're not picking it up. You're probably for a sucker for those guys who's to compliment
you. He's just in phone sourcing. I'm picking up on that, though.
The problem with recruiting them straight when you have a job and that's exactly what you start off with, it is making the phone call about this job, and they either want it or they don't. Can you turn it around and say, hey, let's stay in touch anyway? Sure. But I think it's great to start it with why you're calling them so that, again, unless they're in a niche that's so specific, it's only for this one job that you have, which is a whole different story. then, hey, either they bite or they don't, and you're done with them. But you're always better to try to get a relationship with them. Let them know, you know, deal with the objection up front. It's an old-fashioned, you know, trick. But you know the odds are that they're going to say, I'm not looking. So instead of waiting for them to say it, you know, beat them to it. Let them know, look, I know you're not looking. Most people I call aren't looking when I make this phone call. And that's not, you know, mainly why I'm calling, let's say. But, hey, here's why I'm calling you. And, look, by the way, yeah, I do have a job that might fit your background. Before I pitch it to you.
Yeah, by the way, that's my point. I'll let it drop, but that's my point. And by the way, well, it's not by the way. That's exactly why you're calling the guy. That's transparent. I mean, they got to be an idiot to say. And when you do that, the guy's
like,
the guy is saying, you're trying to play me. You're not being straight with me. By the way,
Gary should call the guy that he's visiting and say, listen, I want to come out there because I want you to like me better. I want to bond with you so you give me more business. And I'm going to drive 12 hours because it's a real pain in the ass, but I think it's going to pay off for me in the future. Should he
that's
say
what
that?
He does.
That's kind
that's
of the discussion
does.
We had, and he said that's cool.
Right.
Nobody else does it.
Right. So, and listen, I'm looking to upgrade my car. And I'm going to need a little bit more money than what I have now, so I'm going to roll. I'm really focusing on working extra hard right now so I can, you know, put the down payment down. Can I meet with you so that I can increase my billing?
That's not bad. What's wrong with that?
Maybe I should start using it.
You don't say that stuff.
You'll get these tools and more in my live boot camp.
Okay.
Someone drive my
Isn't the real goal of a recruiting call, though, to establish a better time to talk with somebody about their career and what's important to them? I mean, do you try to cram it all in that phone call and cover?
No, it depends. You know, if they'll talk, you know, you should listen. You know, a lot of people can't talk at work, so just to get them hooked to be willing to talk later is great. You know, again, in just general sales, not to get back to basics, but, you know, a lot of recruiters, I'm not saying you guys, but a lot of recruiters forget that, you know, sales has some basic concepts and it's, you know, qualifying people before you sell to them. It's learning about their hot buttons, basically what they want to hear before you tell them. So to just pitch a job, you don't want to pitch and recruit 20 people all exactly the same because they're all different people. Mm-hmm. So someone has a hot button where they want a large, you know, sexy company. Another one, you know, their big thing is they really need to move up. They're stymied. Another one is miserable about the people that they work with because it's, you know, they hire stiff people. And you want to try to get that stuff, you know, in the conversation, so that when you pitch them the job, you can, you know, pitch about the great people to the person that's concerned about that. You can pitch about the job advancement to the person that's concerned about that. And you don't want to have a one-size-fits-all recruiting call, and it's just the same
right on.
As when you're selling to a company.
Right on.
Okay. Anybody else want to talk to him about that? Static is still there, but I don't think it's going to come out too bad, hopefully. Okay?
Neil, I think we should have one-size-fits-all call.
I heard that.
Okay.
Well, how could you hear it through the static on your crappy phone?
Now, listen, Neil, mm-hmm. Still with us? Neil, do you have a middle name? What's your middle name? Neil Stewart. You want to be called Stu? It's kind of shorter.
Not bad. Whatever you wish. This is your
What's
show.
Wrong with Neil? That's shorter still.
No, I don't think so. Stu. Stu is three letters, Maureen.
But,
get with it. You know, Maureen's been sick like for a
all
month.
About the syllable.
Okay. Now, listen, Neil. Neil,
don't hate me.
You're an accountant yourself. You're a CPA, am I right?
Yes, I'm an ex-accountant, but yes, once a CPA, always a CPA.
Well, you've got the designation, and you've got the experience,
and
you specialize. Oh, who's got that? Is that you with the dog?
Not me. I'm in my office.
Well, maybe some people like taking pets to work. Okay, now it's true, especially smaller ones. When you specialized, did you work exclusively with accountants and financial people, or do you feel that you could work with almost any kind of candidate?
No, I think you should absolutely specialize regardless of the type of firm that you worked in. Specialize completely. The problem with working with any sort of candidate, and this is a trap I see people falling into in this economy all the time, is that, you know, they might have bought into the concept of specialization and focus because of the efficiencies when times were good, but now that people have been scraping much more for placements, for some reason the mindset is, all right, well, now I gotta, you know, I can't look a gift horse in the mouth. So even though I place finance people, if my accountant says I need my client says I need a paralegal, well, now I'll do it, even though a year ago I wouldn't. The problem with that is it's just so inefficient because you're going to be recruiting and networking and doing all these great things, and the odds of you getting another job order like that are nil. So you're not taking advantage of the efficiency of constantly recruiting people where you could just market them in to either an open job order or to a new client and just, again, keep the focus so laser sharp, you know, that you don't have to even worry about, you know, bad job orders. Who cares? I'm working on these same 5-6 positions, and I'm going to constantly recruit for these same 5 or 6 people.
I was
so
away
no,
for a second. Did you mention
no clients,
synergy at all?
I'm sorry?
Did you mention synergy there?
No, I said efficiency like 13 times, not synergy.
Okay.
It's a paradigm shift, Jerry.
Yeah, right. Okay, now
well,
I was
synergy
actually...
Synergy is important. I mean...
Yeah, synergy is, yeah.
Hey,
Jerry,
laugh at it all you want, generalist.
Keep your synergy to your want yourself.
Oh, I'm a generalist?
Yeah, I am, but it's a mistake. I'll agree with that. But that's not what I... Here's what I wanted to move into a different question. Let's say you are a specialist in one area, and there's a lot of the trainers who were on the other day, and I know Bill has... Bill Borman also talks about it. Talk to your clients. You see where the action's going to be happening in the future, and you plan on moving in that direction. So can someone change a specialty? And if so, how long do you have to be in a new niche before you can start branding yourself as an expert?
Oh, boy. It depends on your niche. And, you know, I love Bill's stuff, so I agree with him on 99% of it. I agree with what the guy's saying, but that's real hard to do, to try to project what's going to happen in the future, except, let's say, for, you know, technology, when, you know, people are adopting a new area. You know, so, but that said, you can certainly see where the clients are and there's business that's better elsewhere. So don't abandon your current niche immediately. But you could begin to brand yourself the second you begin to focus on your database of candidates, focus on the recruiting of good people, and get yourself educated on that space. Buzzwords. You could even just spend a couple hours on the Internet researching some great stuff for your market, whether you're local or whether you're national, because you want your client calls to not just hear you say that I'm a specialist in this niche or I'm branding myself as X, but you're going to be talking the talk with them. You know, meaning, look, I'm only dealing, and not that, you know, to use an example of Wall Street, I'm only dealing with front office traders that deal in, the new mortgage securities. That's all that I do. And there's 186 of them in the New York area. Here's the size of the market. Here are the people that I'm dealing with. I know, 68% of them, some of our clients, I mean, again, you just need to be educated and talk about it, and that's how you brand yourself, by getting people in those niches that most people can't. And the more you focus or specialize on just recruiting and networking, your game plan doesn't change. You don't do anything really differently. You're just keeping it much more...
Let me interrupt you. Let me interrupt you. I'm speaking from my own experience. I tried to recruit some electric motor guys for Jerry this summer, and I could not master that. I didn't know what I was talking about. I felt like an idiot when I finally got on the phone with these guys, who didn't really want to talk to me either, but I could not impress them. I did not understand the job. How long would it take you to pick up enough about electric motors to speak intelligently about it? And I don't care if you tell me I'm just a dummy.
Well, I mean, I'm not normal. I graduated 8th in my high school class out of 535. That said, Animal...
Come on! Oh, boy!
It's kidding me? 25 years ago, and I still hang on that because I got nothing now. I'm
middle-aged.
You know what?
Repeat it one more time.
I skipped a grade. I don't think I'm smarter than everybody, okay?
Animal, if I can say something about that, I think that you get caught up in assuming that you have to be an engineer to recruit engineers.
I agree with Jerry, Animal.
Need to do is be able to talk to an engineer about what he does.
That's right.
I could fully interview a fireman. It doesn't matter. It's you need to ask the questions to help them make sure that you know what they're doing. It's not about you knowing engineering. It's really not.
You just have to share the information. Educate them about the job, too. You don't have to know the job.
Animal, it's like when I source. You know, I take on a new job, and I don't know what it is, you know, that silicone germanium engineering job. And, I mean, what the heck is that? But once you get into it, you know, you start to pick up the lingo, and it gets easier. But the important thing is you just have to start.
you know, you don't talk, Maureen. You're sourcing. You talk as little as possible.
True.
Okay?
who knows more about the recruiting industry, recruiters or recruiters that place other recruiters? Right? And, I mean, the answer is very academic, but you know, a recruiter will know whatever they want to know. They're busy doing recruiting, learning.
Yeah, if you graduated
recruiting.
Eighth in your class.
You see? See, I figure stuff like this out.
Was
but
that eighth?
That place recruiting
Brand?
In their niche.
Yeah.
Eighth.
They know
out of
the
how
state.
Many?
They know the number of companies. They know the number of people that work different positions. They
I was number 270 out of 400.
Like out of...
Hey, excuse me. I'll turn this car around right now, kids. Right? The recruiters of recruiters know the industry. So the recruiters of engineers will know the industry and the stuff clients want more than the engineers would. So back to Jerry's point, no, you don't need to be an engineer at all. You need to know all the different types of engineers that work in companies. And, again, ask questions and you'll get it. For one order, which is also why someone shouldn't be such a generalist, because you are going to have trouble on those first, you know, couple of orders that you get. And you know, you see, but imagine the person that does a little bit of anything or any client, or they deal with human resources, God forbid, in big companies, and they call this person for any position under the sun. I mean, you will end up feeling like an idiot, whether or not you got 1350 on your SAT.
Okay, now let me switch.
Come out. I'm sorry.
Brianne, did you write that down?
Listen, Neil, I've got a good example here. You know, I've got a client, and I am a specialist in IT, but I've got a client that has brought me into their other positions because they like my service and my approach. And you know, just last week I had a plant manager start. I've got waiting on an offer tomorrow for a power electronics engineer. And I wouldn't be able to tell you anything about power electronics beyond what I know the person needs to know and my ability to find out where they are in their career and research what's important to them.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, Jerry. I'll give some background
off
on that. I want to say something. Jerry did not recruit those guys. He did splits with people, so he didn't.
Good.
He wasn't on the line.
It doesn't
Good.
Matter.
But he also, that's the way he should have done it, so I'm glad to
they,
hear
they
that.
Came to my desk, and I took them from there. I spoke
yeah,
at
oh,
length.
They were already
every,
in. They were already in,
no,
Jerry.
They
please,
were,
give us
oh,
a break.
They weren't in.
They weren't in, Animal.
But I'd rather that Animal than him try to become an expert in this, start focusing and recruiting these people where he's never going to use those candidates ever again. Any job orders he gets from those candidates or any candidates.
Hey, obviously what I did worked.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a different question. I think you're a great recruiter.
No, it's not a different question. Because
yes, it is.
At any time that I'm on a phone with a candidate, it matters not where they came from or what their understanding is. What do you think, they just all of a sudden the resume's on my desk and I'm supposed to call them and tell them where to report? Man, that'd be great.
It's not fun having a whole entire radio show against you, is it, mister?
I don't care. now,
that's
listen.
What the after show is for, Neil.
What
now, listen. Listen,
I don't know
Neil,
if I'm invited back, but I've...
are you still here? Are you still here? Does anybody else have something to say, Andy CGP or anybody else, before I ask him another question?
I think so Andy's at the gym.
I'm 38. I've got 7 minutes till I have to be on my summit, my conference.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I forgot. His other webinar starts at 12:45. Okay. You know what? Most of the Twitter, I just wanted to say hi, CFO Coach. Cindy Kraft is listening, and Marianne Verver. And it's just like being on Romper Room. Laura Wieser had to sign off, and E. Nolan, there's a new guy. Just let me mention his name to make him feel good. He only goes by his first initial, E, which it's Eric. Eric Nolan Brown. E. Nolan Brown. Oh,
sounds like a writer.
What hashtag are those showing up under?
You know what? There's no hashtag. Everything's under @animal. Go to Twitter search, hit @animal. You'll see everybody there. And Cherny Vitello as well. You know, let me ask something about Cherny Vitello. She's a very presentable person. I spent an hour chatting with her in the lobby of... the Holiday Inn at Spadina and Bloor here in Toronto in September. Very nice. On her Twitter profile.
Who's
kids
the
are there? Who's kids? Okay. Anyway,
exactly
so Cherny
like a small version of Maureen.
Yeah. That's who it is. Okay, I want to say something about Cherney's profile. She starts off by saying she's a recruiter, but she finishes off by saying she's an avid shopper. Now, I don't know if she's quoting George Bush in that or something. Remember, he said, go shopping. But, Neil, you're also a social media expert now. Am I right about that?
Yes, I have become one, yes.
Okay, should she be saying that she's an avid shopper? Is that outreach to other potential candidates? They'll think, you know what, I'm going to have a chat with her about, you know, shopping for blouses or something like that.
I'm not a fan of putting stuff like that on there. That said, you know, the experts will tell you to sprinkle in some personalization about you. So, you know, she will connect with some people who are also avid shoppers and who will, you know, bond a little bit more there. So as long as she's not, you know, tweeting constantly about crap like that.
Never. I didn't know till I looked at her website.
No, that's fine. It's you know, makes you different and personal, and there's definitely a lot of people that could connect.
Okay. Now, I'm coming back to what we were talking about before. Now, you can work a job or candidate-related niche, so you're placing all kinds of financial analysts or whatever the example you gave were stock salesmen on Wall Street. But you can also, your niche can be a specific industry, like electronic niche. I'm in Canada, okay? Electronic instrumentation, something like that. Now, in that case, you're going to place anybody with experience in that industry. It doesn't matter what position they're doing. That's virtually being a generalist, isn't it?
It's being a generalist within that specific niche. No, but it's being a generalist like being a specialist in everything in finances, right? So, you know, you have a lot of finance specialty people that run desks that do everything within finance. It's still really hard. They're better than a generalist at finding people, but they're worse than someone that's very specific. I mean, you look at the Michael Page model in finance that, you know, came from the UK. Their business, which has grown unbelievably in the U.S. and taken share from all their you know, monster competitors in the U.S., is based on super specific and focused financial.
I don't know who Michael Page is. I don't know if anyone else does either. Can you preface your
What's
description?
What's going on?
Michael Page is actually one of the world's largest, you know, finance recruitment companies. But they're really massive. They're a UK-based company, and they've made their run around the world in the last couple of years. In the U.S., they've been here, I don't know, maybe 5 years. They've made a great run, and they're just super specialists, meaning they'll have a person that runs a desk on strictly back office, you know, for brokerage firms. You know, another person that will do analysis in the back office only, someone that deals just with traders and certain types of products. So,
Hey, hold on a second. The static level went up. Can you still hear?
Yep.
You know, there's people I didn't acknowledge. Carla Porter, she didn't say that much. I didn't see her. She said she gave up a 5-hour unemployment or employment law seminar to come to the Recruiting Animal Show, and she's supposed to expect me to thank her for doing that. It was an obvious choice.
She gave
5 hours
up to listen to this show.
Yeah, but Carla, maybe you could tell us. Can you hear it? If you're on the line now, you can tell me. But if you're not and you're listening on the speakers, tell me if you can hear the show. Resume
I hear.
Strategy.
I hear you loud and clear. Yeah, I'm actually here.
You're here.
I thought
you were listening on the speakers. Somebody who's listening on the speakers, let me know. Greg Durgurian, maybe you're listening on the speakers. Cindy, maybe you're listening on the speakers. Resume strategy. Maybe you're listening on the speakers. Let us know if you can hear us anymore, because there's a lot of static on my line.
This isn't a speaker listening issue, though. It's static on the actual phone line of somebody.
Yeah, I don't mind if it's like me. I can still hear him, but maybe nobody else can hear him, okay? Enough of that. So Michael Page is a recruitment specialist in finance. What's your point about him?
My point is they specialize within the specialty. All of their desks are subspecialty. So I'm saying someone that specializes in the electrical field in that entire industry vertical is in much better shape than someone that's trying to place people in there that does all different industries.
Okay, but it doesn't sound like you're enthusiastic about it. It doesn't sound like you're enthusiastic about that kind of niche.
No, I am, but you said it's a generalist, and you know, aren't they a generalist?
Well, I got to tell you, like, Neil, Neil, listen to me. The example you gave The example you gave is not Cherney is saying, I don't know if she's being sarcastic, she's thanking me for mentioning her hobby, but the example you gave is not a good example. Michael Page is not an individual, that's a company. He's got a bunch of individual desks in there that presumably have a number of individual specializations, job oriented.
I think a niche is even more specific than being specialized. Like, I specialize in IT, but if I wouldn't consider IT a niche. A niche would be Oracle database applications or .NET developers.
I guess you don't know what you know what? Maybe I'm talking about niches, and you're talking about niches, Jerry, because you're wrong, okay?
I'm right. You're wrong.
I agree with Jerry on that one.
Yeah!
Who's that?
That's Neil.
I was running up the score tally. 3 for me.
Is that Neil? I can barely hear you now.
Wow, this is the last time I was on we had technical difficulties.
No, this is much worse. This is much worse. Cherney's actually competed against him. Okay, well, let's keep talking, but I mean, but I feel bad if it's not going to go anywhere. Okay.
Fine, keep talking.
Neil, is there anything you'd like to talk about, or anybody else got some questions before I go on?
Yeah, well, I would say those people who are not aware of the summit that I'm speaking at right now via the technology and live recording, they could go to my website at thedynamicsale.com. There's a banner right on
Dynamicsale.com. I'll just say it loud. Maybe that'll make a difference so they can hear you, because you're faint as well. Thedynamicsale.com.
You still get a day and a half of free, unbelievable speakers. It's really a great event. Over 1,000 people signed up. So if you are not aware of it, check it out. You'll see it right
on it's very good. It's very good. I attended yesterday. I thought it was really interesting. I'd be there now if I wasn't doing the show with you. Okay? So the Dynamic Sale, your Twitter address is Neil Leibovitz, NeilLeibovitz, right?
That is correct.
The double L is kind of confusing there.
That's what happens when you have a last name and a first name where the two letters meet.
Yeah, that's why you should call yourself Stu. Now, there's a bunch of new people here. Actually, Greg Durgurian is here. Greg, you want to say hi? Greg.
That's
Greg. Chance, you want to say hi to everybody?
Nope.
Okay, he doesn't really want to. I guess, you know what, he's calling online, so that must be a terrible sound. Okay, anybody else just come on who wants to say something before I go on? No? Neil, anything else you want to talk about, or should I continue?
Oh, you can continue. I don't want to, continue to plug or do a commercial. I'm enjoying the banter.
Okay, let's just say one more thing about you've got the boot camp coming up as well. When's the date on that?
December 4th and 5th.
December. December?
December 4th and 5th, yes.
Okay, and that's you can find it at the Dynamic Sale as well?
That's right. If you go right to thedynamicsale.com, you'll see right up top I got a couple of hyperlinks, so you don't have to navigate through my site to find it there.
Okay, fine. That's enough. That's enough. Okay, fine.
The virtual boot camp starts in November 17th. So that's coming up soon. You can do that from the comfort of their own home and get much more detailed stuff like this, but interactive.
That's right in the middle of deer season, though, Neil.
I'm having trouble hearing anything, so I'm sorry to anybody if they're listening and it's not coming out. So anyway, listen, Neil.
Yes.
When you penetrate when you penetrate a company, when you call a company and you're trying to penetrate them, should you try to get more than one person's name in that company? You're only dealing with one person, really, especially if you're working in a niche.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you want to try to go...
You want to try to go
as many people deep as you can, that would have something to do with the niche that you're specializing in.
Okay, but you don't want to just call the president up and make sure he knows who you are, or she knows who you are, as well as the finance director or anything like that, right? You don't have to know a ton of people in the company, am I right?
Well, no. I mean, we used to teach the finance people when they specialize in that is you'll want the president, you'll want the CFO, you'll want the controller, you'll want the accounting manager, you'll want the different department managers, because until you learn about you want everyone to say good things about you and mention your name and think about you, and every company is different with the authority they give people to use recruiting firms or to interview. You want to be deep. A lot of problems that people have is their relationships are very, very shallow in terms of numbers. And your other problem with that is you're screwed. but you're really in tough shape when that person ends up leaving. So many great recruiters have great relationships in companies where they made a fortune, and then their president leaves, or their CFO leaves, or you know their chief marketing officer leaves, or their CIO leaves, whatever your niche is, and they're in deep trouble, and they have to start all over again.
Yeah, we're getting more static, Paul told us, but well, we'll finish the show. It's still 10 minutes left, but I feel bad about that. My apologies, it's beyond my control. I can barely hear you myself. I don't really understand why you're saying that. If you're placing a certain kind of person and you're dealing with the hiring manager who handles that kind of person in the company, how do you establish relationships with other people?
If your niche is real, real specific, where that is the only person that'll deal with the only type of person you've placed, then that's pretty much, you're right, that's all you're going to want to deal with. But if your niche is a little wider, you just want to talk to as many people that fall within that niche that you've placed.
Okay. So, you know, should we continue? Jerry, can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear.
Maureen, can you hear?
Once whoever's got this problem hangs up.
Yes, but it's very, very crackly.
Very crackly. I'm thinking maybe we should, Neil, what do you think? Should we continue or finish the show?
Neil.
Yep. Can you hear me?
I just took my headset off to see if it was me. It's not me.
You know, you're not supposed to be wearing a headset. No wonder you were muffled the whole show anyway. Gee whiz. You know, everybody gets mad at me for yelling at the beginning of the show. There's a reason. Landline. No headset. How many times do I have to say it?
So you're saying this sounds a lot better now than before?
Yeah, well, it's a little better.
No difference.
I tricked you.
No difference.
No difference.
There's a difference.
No difference.
I'm going to say, Neil, let's wrap it up. I'll save these questions for the next time. There's only 8 minutes. Let's not struggle through it.
What about the after show? You cutting us off?
No, I'm not cutting you off. You can have the after show, Jerry. No one's going to hear you anyway. But, Neil, I'm going to suggest you and I stop now. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. It's getting worse.
You know what? You're a great guest. I really enjoyed it. Go to Twitter search and look up @Animal. You'll see some people were saying they like the show.
Thank you,
Neil. Make feel good.
Thank you, Neil.
Always good fun with you guys. And, Jerry, I'll get you on the speaker circuit for the next guest.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Thank you. Boy, that's going to be great. Now I'm going to play some music to introduce the after show. But in the meantime, Neil, thank you very much. There you go, Jer.
And this is still shot, isn't it?
Not that bad.
I don't think you should do your after show.
Go
ahead, though.
Huh.
What do you think causing that?
Yesterday, Paul had to hang up. He ended the show after 2 minutes because...
How about everybody individually hang up and call back in? I just want to see if this...
That's a good idea. All right.
I can put them all on mute.
No.
Okay.
What are we doing?
Everybody's
going
to
call back in.
You're
hanging up. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Animal?
Yeah. I'm still here.
Okay, I'm going to call back in too then.
Okay. I'm here, everybody. I'm just holding. I'm holding the fort. If anybody wants to listen, because there's going to be a big gap in the stupid show. Okay, I hear everybody's coming back.
Better.
Okay, it's better.
Yeah,
it was
better.
Until they started coming back on. Now I'm hearing crackling again.
Okay, I'm going to hang up too, and I'll call back. You guys can talk among yourselves till I call back.
Me, this is Carla. I work in a nonprofit organization. We don't have a lot of money. I don't know if the phone lines are any good.
It's probably you. You know, actually, if there's crackling, it's probably from a landline. So anyway, it would not be from a cell line.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I, you know, paid attention kind of in class and was able to do okay on the tests. So when it really came to who knows something, it was me. But I only got high C's.
Should I be admitting that?
Nope.
I think it's very transparent and authentic.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, somebody just called in on a crackly line, I think.
Was that me?
Are you on a landline?
Yeah, I am.
Just try yourself.
It was sounding okay before you called back in.
Okay, I'm going to hang up then. I'll listen on speakers.
All right. Still crackling.
Is he gone?
He's listening. Animal has left the building, but he is listening on speakerphone. It doesn't sound too bad, but if one person has a bad line, then, I mean, it's shot.
Yeah.
Kind of ruins the fun.
How about this? I will hang up. I've been on calls all day, and the phone didn't crackle, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'll be happy to hang up, and if you want me back, like, send me a message.
You know, it sounds like when you talk, the crackle increases. Anybody else notice that or not?
Yeah, I did.
Oh,
did you hang up, Carla?
Yeah, I'm going to hang up. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Still there.
Not as much.
Not as much. Still there.
Sounds pretty good. I bet if everybody hangs up, it's going to be perfect. So who's still here? Me? You?
That's it. Did Maureen hang up?
That's it?
What?
Okay, well.
Gregory. Where's Andy?
He never even showed up. Didn't even see him anywhere, so. Well, okay,
maybe,
so.
Maybe he was actually working.
That could be. So, this call's being recorded, so I'm going to hang up.
All right.
Nice talking to you, Rayanne.
Nice talking to you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Hello?